Negotiators at the Major League Baseball talks say the owners and the players are still far apart on key economic issues. The players have threatened to strike on August 30th if the two sides cannot reach an agreement. Commentator Frank DeFord says a strike may be welcomed by some Atlanta Braves fans who are looking for any way to avoid yet another heartbreaking conclusion to the season.
All right, let's talk a little baseball. No, really, baseball games. Let's open up the sports pages and check the standings. There, the team with the best record in the American League is, yes, of course, the New York Yankees. And the team with the best record in the National League in all of baseball is the Atlanta Braves. How is this possible? The Braves are some sort of dull phenomenon, all reliable. They're as steady as a car payment bill. They're incredibly dependable at a high level, but never glamorous, and in the end, usually disappointing. They're sort of like those actors who do very well in every television series they star in, but flop whenever they appear in a real big screen movie. It may not be fair, but years from now, nobody will remember these Braves, these great hobgoblins of consistency. They'll remember the Yankees, that's for sure, and the Red Wings and the Bulls and the Cowboys and the Lakers and Tiger Woods and Pete Sampras. But the Braves will be, at best, an afterthought. This despite a record of stalwart stability that is the best of this time. Since 1991, the Braves have never failed to win at least a division title, except in 94 when a strike ended the season prematurely. 10 straight some kind of pennant years and an 11th guaranteed if the season is completed. Yet for all those triumphs of the spring and summer, Atlanta has only gone on to 5 World Series and only once did it win. Odious though it may be, comparison to the contemporary Yankees is obligatory, especially in as much as the two teams are formed in very much the same image. The managers, Bobby Cox and Joe Torre, are two unflappable, wise old souls. Both teams have a magnificent way of finding just the right players. If the Yankees have the cash, the Braves have the genius of general manager John Schuerholz. Both teams are grounded in pitching. Neither has ever produced any great slugging star. They just put up solid lineups. And yet in the autumn, the Yankees rise to glory and the Braves descend to the ordinary. It's almost impossible to understand why bad things happen to good teams. I'm sure in that trite sports pop psychology, the Braves want it every bit as much as everybody else. Maybe luck plays a larger role in sport than we want to grant it. I do think that the two hometowns matter. If the teams were reversed and it had been the Yankees who had teased New York year after year, the fans and the newspapers and the talk radio would have excoriated them as heartless chokes. Atlanta has been more accepting of its nearly men. But then it's never been a very passionate place. In fact, this is probably why it rose on its pragmatism over the rest of Dixie. 50 years ago, Atlanta and Birmingham were the same size. Birmingham, like a lot of the South, was frozen emotionally in time. Atlanta got down to business and became the leader of the new South. But the fervor that is so evident in a New York stadium is missing in Atlanta. Maybe players feed off that. Maybe that makes a difference in the postseason. Apologists for the Braves maintain that the true mark of a champion is to play well year in and year out. And yes, just showing up may be half of life. But sorry, the truth is that we play championships for a reason, to find out who the champions are.
The comments of Frank DeFord, whose latest novel is An American Summer. He joins us each Wednesday from members station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut.